Welcome to Pro Money Talk Success Stories, special episodes and segments of Pro Money Talk dedicated to real-life stories of money mastery and personal success. Our purpose is to inform, inspire, and educate our listeners about how real people make money work for them in their lives. I'm your host, Peter Johnson. In this episode, we hear from a woman whose careful estate planning efforts paid off just when she needed them most. This interview is especially powerful for married women, but really applies to all of us, because incapacity and death have a substantial impact on everyone's life. The interview lasts about 35 minutes. Well, we're here today with Helga Hayes, who is a previous guest on our podcast. And she makes it her mission in life to teach women about handling money in their lives and understanding it. But I think her own story is compelling in that she actually went through an experience that would shake most people to their foundations. I want to backtrack or start during your second marriage, Helga. When you had a happy marriage, you were in love with your husband, and you really didn't worry about money too much, but in the back of your mind, you had a little nagging feeling.
Well, the reason for that was that my husband was an entrepreneur, and he was an optimist, and he was totally future-oriented. And that combination, which I found really heady in terms of attractiveness, I didn't realize also put me at risk financially because we lived in a community property state. But I never really thought about it too much because I thought he knows what he's doing. And every time we needed a line of credit from the bank, the business needed a line of credit, I would be required to sign that line of credit too. And I didn't know what I was signing. I just signed it because he said sweetly and lovingly, "Would you sign this here, honey, please?" And of course I would sign. It's for the company or whatever he put in front of me, I would sign. And I was building my own business at the time. And so I didn't need any business credit because my business was not based in real estate and employees, and I was a consultant. So I just realized that that I couldn't get a credit line for my business, but I was on the hook for a credit line for a different business that I didn't understand. And it created some problems because we lived very well.
You spent a lot of money and borrowed a lot of money.
We spent a lot of money and borrowed a lot of money. And as the company treasurer liked to say, I know I have a lot of money and assets because I have a lot of debt. And they wouldn't let me borrow the money if I didn't have something to back it up with. And this is a big trap. I see this going on today with a lot of people I know. Of course I have this debt because I can afford to have this debt, which doesn't make much sense, but you have to think it through before you realize it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you do have to think about it.
Yeah.
So you guys built up a fair amount of debt. Did you also let your husband just kind of handle money in general for the two of you?
I did. I thought that he understood money better than I did, and he wouldn't be able to run this business if he didn't know what he was doing. This was my thinking. Mm-hmm. And I know that there were things about our life that I didn't understand financially, but I just pushed it away because I was busy with my own things. Mm-hmm. I was busy with my business. And I just trusted and assumed that he would do what's best for both of us. And he tried to do that. And what he didn't do and what I didn't know I should do is at least participate in understanding what the marital finances were and what it was that I was signing and just keep track of where the expenses were going. Because I didn't. I did it for my business because I had to. because right. there were records I had to keep, and I followed all those SBA rules and everything. But when it came to the marriage, that was different. He was my husband, and he knew it better because he just did. No reason.
And so you would just sign documents he would bring to you, and you didn't really think about it too much.
Right.
And it's easy to see how someone would take that approach, being busy, trusting, being caught up in the excitement and the belief in the expertise. So at one point, all of a sudden, you had an aha moment.
My Oprah moment?
Your
yeah,
Oprah moment.
My Oprah moment. Well, what happened was that I needed a car. And I think there was some divine hand in this because usually I wouldn't look in the newspaper classified ads to look for a car. But I did. And I noticed an ad for a Cadillac. And I'm not a Cadillac person. I don't even didn't even want a Cadillac, but something compelled me to answer this ad. And the woman who was selling it, it turned out, lived in my neighborhood, about five blocks away from me. And I made an appointment to see her, and she showed me the car, and she said it was fully paid for. And I said, may I ask why you're selling it? And she said, my husband died about 5 months ago, and I need the money. And I looked around at her surroundings, and this is a big house with a gate, and this is in a very nice neighborhood. And I said, do you need the money? And she said, yeah. She said, the will is tied up in probate. I have continuing expenses. The children are pressuring me to do this and do that, and I have a rental car that my husband leased, and I have to pay off that lease. And I realized that I could be this woman, that her husband died, left the finances in a mess, she had not participated, she didn't know anything about it, and she didn't know which way to turn, and it was too late for her to do anything about it because he was gone. And suddenly it just hit me. I could be in the same situation.
It must have been a very uncomfortable moment.
It was very uncomfortable and very frightening. Very frightening. Because I didn't know whether it was my own personal response to something or whether it was maybe a wider problem than just me. I'm a reporter by training. I majored in investigative reporting. And so the reporter in me kicked in, and I thought, I'm going to investigate this and see if it's just me. I bought the car from her after I called my husband and said, would you come and kick the tires and, and let's do this. She was happy to have the money, and I was happy to have the car, I think. It was good for my business. And we started to talk about what I had just experienced. I talked about that with my husband. And I said, let me investigate this and let me see what the facts are here. And I want us to start talking about how can I learn more about our finances. I don't understand anything of what's happening in the marriage with regard to the finances, and I want to participate.
I imagine
and I'm scared to death.
Did it take some courage for you to approach your husband and broach the subject?
Well, at first it was initially no, because I could talk with him about anything. But when I started to get more specific about why I want the information and what was required in order to do something about it, he started to get a little uncomfortable, because suddenly I was asking questions that he felt might have something to do with my level of trust in him. And it really didn't have to do with that. I just wanted to know. I was after information. He was defending a position that he didn't need to defend. But to his credit, he came around. And we started to talk about what we needed to do. And because we had a company and there were a lot of issues involved, he had never addressed. And that I had never realized I should address.
Can you tell us what some of those issues were and what you did to begin some planning?
Sure. The company had many contracts, and many of them with the government. And I knew that if something happened to my husband, I didn't know enough about the company to handle running it or anything. I wasn't qualified. And it turned out he wanted his son to run it. So there was mutual financial participation in this, but it wasn't set up so that it was clear what would happen in case something happened to him. There was no insurance for me. Through the marriage, I had assets, which were always pledged as collateral against company loans. So separate property had to be repositioned as community property to qualify for lines of credit. And then the property was quitclaim back to me as separate property. And there was a lot of danger in doing that, simply because if something happened to him when it was in community property, it became a company asset because it was pledged against a loan. And I didn't understand the ins and outs of this all the time. It was frightening for me. And I also pushed it down because I thought that if I felt this way, it questioned my love for him. And so I didn't let a lot of the things surface because I had conflicting feelings about it. Okay? And that's when I realized, it was one of the first things I realized in my research, money is money and love is love. And they shouldn't get mentioned in the same sentence.
Yeah, sounds cute.
It's oil and water.
True. Mm-hmm.
It's oil and water. And for women, much more widespread than you would imagine. The two are intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
They can't separate the money part from the love part. And the whole notion of what's supposed to happen in a marriage. And not realizing that a marriage is first and foremost a business partnership with love. And
you have to take care of each other.
Exactly.
There are certain basic needs that we all need met.
That's right.
So you began to basically do something that we call estate planning.
Right.
To begin to draw up documents so that things would be taken care of if he did die.
Yes. We were both on the same side of the equation because, unlike couples who are divorcing, where it's an adversarial situation, for us it was a joint situation that we had never addressed. And a lot of discussion occurred at our kitchen table. And I found it was easier to raise a lot of the really uncomfortable subjects in the office of an estate planner because neither he nor I took things personally, you know, because it was moderated, exactly. And so I found that that's a really good place to talk about some things that are sticky subjects, but they need to be discussed within the framework of planning.
Well, we know that we have many clients who have not done their estate planning, and maybe the people who hear this will be inspired to take care of that.
I hope so. I hope so because you never know how many more days you have, or hours, or I'm not trying to be morbid about anything. I'm just a realist. And it's really important to just not have to think about these things because you've already done them. Okay, as the research came together, I realized that we have no control over certain things, and the only thing we have control over is to plan for the things we can't control.
Sort of like insurance.
Exactly. And once we do that, just, you know, enjoy your life. Enjoy your day.
Reminds me of the Serenity Prayer.
That's right.
So you put together, you got in front of the estate planning attorney, and you put together a will, and you probably did a trust.
Yes.
Because the trust would allow the money to go quickly to you. You wouldn't have to wait for probate to be finished to get cash.
Actually, not.
No, okay.
No, because it was set up. It was set up differently. It was, without going into all the details, there were issues of property and the company and so it wasn't a clear revocable trust where I'm gone, this is yours. There was a company to consider, and it's a little too complicated to go into. And there was limited partnership, and I was part of that. And then there were some other financial deals, and just learning about all those was amazing. And I recognize that it was all designed to give us a secure future. But because there was so many, and I didn't understand them, I didn't see the relationship, And I was totally dependent on a company accountant and a private accountant who was also involved with the company. And it just made me feel like I didn't have an advocate personally. Mm-hmm. So that's why all these factors came together and I decided to research it and become more financially savvy about things.
And it sounds like you had a lot to learn. I mean, that'd
I did.
Be a challenge for anybody to take on, to try to understand business structures and debts and accounting and lots of stuff.
Right. You know the result of this. You're probably going to ask me this question, but it seems appropriate to mention it here. And that is that when my husband died suddenly, I had a lot of this information already, and things had been set up. However, there were still things I didn't know. I had another level of baptism by fire because mm-hmm. there were things I hadn't gotten to. And once you are in a situation where you're grieving because someone's gone, grief shuts you down. You cannot absorb new information.
It's a complete energy drain.
Totally. Not only energy drain, but mental confusion. You cannot function. It's a traumatic event, mm-hmm. and you can't function. And so therefore, to try to learn about finances or what you need to do, this is why so many women especially are in such difficulty when they are widowed, because we can't think. I could not think, period. I could never have learned all this stuff afterwards.
Did anyone provide encouragement and support to you as you went through all this, or did you pretty much do it on your own?
Actually, my husband gave me a lot of encouragement and support in doing this, because he understood why I was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I had so much research already in files, and someone suggested to me that I might want to teach this to other women. As our estate documents were being drawn up, because of my business, I was in the communications business, and I had started a nonprofit that was going to be teaching people in midlife about all kinds of things that we needed to know. Someone suggested, Helga, why don't you put a seminar together on what you've just learned going through all this with your husband as you're setting up the estate documents and what women need to know. And I had no idea I was researching this subject to save my own life.
Mm.
You know, I thought I was going to be putting this seminar together and teaching it to other women. And my husband thought this was a great idea. Oh, Helga, another exciting idea for your company. He was very encouraging, but he didn't think any of this applied to him because he was an optimist and he didn't like to think about dying, and he was superstitious, I think. Like many of the men I interviewed, men are superstitious about thinking about their own death, and that's why they procrastinate. They deny it, and they think, oh, I'm a positive thinker. I want to put a positive spin on everything, and nothing gets taken care of.
If I don't think about it, it won't happen.
Exactly. So my husband was very encouraging, and I had friends who were encouraging, and I knew from my business experience that this was a good thing to do.
So let's cut to the chase. About a month after you got through signing the documents mm-hmm. and getting things taken care of, you come home one day and your husband's gone.
Yeah, he died in an accident at home. He drowned, and I, as you can imagine, was thoroughly traumatized. And what can you say? You realize a couple things go through your head all at once. The part of it that's thinking, and that is, how could this have happened? And I have to stop.
Okay,
because I'm getting a little teary, and I
well,
so I wasn't.
All right, but.
Yeah, but a friend said to me within the first few days after he died, Helga, you just got a PhD in your seminar. And I just thought, this is just, it's too ironic. It shouldn't be. It this can't have happened. But if
in a way, your friend was saying, there's something good that could come out of this, that you got your PhD in your own seminar.
Yeah.
You're now qualified.
That's right.
Supremely qualified to teach.
Right. And everything that I had researched and everything I had put into my materials for helping other women, what they need to set up and everything, everything that I'd put into it now applied to me. And I never thought that would happen. You know, we were healthy and young, and everything was just going great. You can't predict these things. So I had to rebuild my life. And because things had been set up properly, because we had addressed the issues of the company, because there was insurance, because there was succession, because I understood everything, because I had a good attorney, because everything had been handled in a way that was fair and everything was clear in the documents, at least I didn't have that to worry about because I couldn't think. I couldn't think.
No. Any kind of trauma, for a while we're just out of commission. And if we haven't planned ahead, we're sort of without the ability to deal with those.
Right. Right. Yeah. But you see, it's kind of random. You don't know. No one's gunning for you, you know.
No.
It's random. And that's so, I don't take any chances that I can see. I just try to head it off at the pass if I can. Mm-hmm. And if not, I just relax. It's not in my control.
Well, what's remarkable is you already were thinking about money. You were thinking about things. You cared about them. You knew a little bit about it from running your own business. And you listened to your intuition, and even though it was uncomfortable, you started to deal with some things that clearly made a huge difference in your life after the fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know how you would have wound up had you not done the planning versus how you did wind up, but you told me yesterday that you don't lie awake at night and worry about money.
No.
You don't need to.
No. And if the planning had not been done, I probably would have been a few million dollars in debt. And probably my life would be completely different, and I would have been responsible for everything.
Yeah, it's sort of ironic that the business would have gone to his son, but the debt would have gone to you.
That's right, because his son didn't have to co-sign any of those lines of credit. And his son didn't lie awake at night worrying about mortgage payments or anything like that. And my signature was on everything. Well, it's just the way it was.
It's not only been a lesson for you, but it's created a sense of calling and passion for you to share this with other people. And that's why you wrote your book,
mm-hmm.
which is, I think, a nifty book. We don't have anything to do with the publishing of this book. Helga's book is called Don't Worry About a Thing, Dear, Why Women Need Financial Intimacy. And we'll
thank you for that.
Well, you know, you wrote it for a reason, and I think people can benefit from that. You do such a good job of explaining things clearly so that people can really get a sense of the logical and intellectual part of the process, but also the emotional part. And our whole purpose here is to inspire people to take a hold of a piece of their financial lives and begin to wrestle with it and do something mm-hmm. about it, because it is important.
Right. And I think especially for women, and the reason I focus on women is because statistically more men handle the finances in the marriage than women. And the women think that's okay, which it is. But the part that they forget is participate, understand what's happening with the finances. You want your husband to handle them? Great. But every so often, check on what's happening, especially if you live in a community property state, because whatever your husband is doing financially, you're doing it too, whether you know it or not. That's the part that freaked me out at the beginning, you know, that I was doing all these things. And even though it was a corporation, it was a small business. And so everyone looked to who was running it and his wife. So that's why I began
to... So you have an unwritten partnership between spouses in community property states. You actually have a business together.
Yes, you do. Yeah, and you know, because you've read the book, that I outline all that. And it's a revelation to women. I do the seminars now, and it's a revelation to women to realize that it operates that way. And usually they laugh at how clear it is. And they hear me. When I talk to them, they hear me. So, but I wanted to get back to what you said earlier in those few years where I decided to focus on this as a life's work. I had other things that I did, but nothing held the same sense of how can I really do good in the world. I think of myself as Paul Revere riding through town saying, wake up, wake up, you know, listen to this, you know, the British are coming. And I felt that my other professional activities were satisfying, but wouldn't give me the satisfaction of knowing that I could share what I had been through with other women and keep them from going through the same thing. So that's why I do it. And it's been heartwarming to get the response from people.
Well, I think the credit goes to you for having the courage to tackle all of this and the foresight and all the work that you've put into it. What have you learned about yourself in this process?
That's an interesting question. I've learned that things that I thought I couldn't understand, I can understand quite well if I intentionally remove the emotional resistance to it. Finance seemed like a really complicated topic, and managing all that seemed really complicated. But if it's explained properly, and you read enough books, and you have someone who's willing to talk things through with you about what you need and why you need it, and it's just that give and take, and a clear explanation, or at least in my case, I could probably learn to understand anything if it was explained without jargon and without the mystique of someone trying to obscure the facts. I mean, if someone's level with you about what's going on, whether it's physics or finances or cooking or whatever it is, if it's explained clearly, you can get it. So I was surprised to find that I could learn a lot of things that I used to think, oh, I'm not going to bother with that. And money was included in that.
So maybe there are a few other people who might also be able to grasp these concepts.
I think so. I think that it's more what people tell themselves they can't do than they actually can't do, because it's a kind of, if I could do it, anyone can do it, because no one paid less attention at the time to money than I did.
That is such a valuable lesson.
Yeah, unfortunately, it came at a very high price. But it's been many years now. It's been almost 10 years. And I'm just grateful that everything was in place and that my husband was cooperative, and not only cooperative, but very loving in the way it was all handled. And, of course, he had no idea either. But it all kind of worked out.
It's a fantastic story. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter.
I hope you enjoyed hearing Helga's story. To learn more about estate planning, you can visit nolo.com. That's N-O-L-O.com. Wikipedia also has definitions of estate planning and associated concepts such as wills, trusts, powers of attorney, and more at wikipedia.org. That's spelled W-I-K-I-P-E-D-I-A.org. Just type estate planning into the search box. You might also want to check out Helga's website, financialintimacy.com, and her book, Don't Worry About a Thing, Dear, which is available through amazon.com. We've given a number of copies of Helga's book out to our clients as educational gifts, and they've been very well received. If you or someone you know has a success story you'd like to share, please contact me at info@promoneytalk.com. For Pro Money Talk Success Stories, I'm Peter Johnson. Thank you for listening, and here's to your success.